Hey, I'm Tommy Lee Jones, and I just wanted to say that I think Volcano is my best performance and my best film. And some people will say that it's No Country for Old Men or The Fugitive, but I wrote Volcano, and I lived it. And it's just the masterpiece. It's my masterpiece. And so I hope you guys enjoy this podcast about Volcano. I also love podcasts, by the way. Tommy Lee Jones here, big, big fan of podcasts. But I just wanted to reiterate how much I enjoyed directing and doing the cinematography for Volcano, and of course acting in it, along with everybody else who was in it, which was also great. Obviously, not as good as myself, Tommy Lee Jones, but very good in their own right, and I hope you guys enjoy it, and I hope to make another Volcano movie, Volcano 2, Attack of the Lava Clones, which is going to come out in a couple years. I'm still working on the screenplay for that, so look out for that, and enjoy this, and I'm actually kind of busy. I have to get on my horse and buy a bunch of moonshine and trade an old pickup truck that I got for some goats and a box of cigars. I'll see you later, Tommy Lee Jones.
Bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Bad Science. I'm your host, Ethan Edinburgh, and today I am thrilled to talk about the best movie about a volcano that also stars Tommy Lee Jones. It's Volcano, 1997's Volcano. It's a movie that my first guest truly loves. I can't wait to hear all the reason he loves it. You know him. He's a wonderful stand-up, and he was also on our episode about A Quiet Place, and he has a Comedy Central digital series called Control Room, which is absolutely fantastic. It's Mickey Leeper.
Hey, what's up? This is straight up one of the worst films of all time. Dude, I can't even foresee anybody listening to this episode, because anybody who's seen this film is like, dude, I can't think about that for one more second. Or they're a smart person who is having a fine life like I was before today and have never seen Volcano.
Okay, so then this episode is just for the three of us in this room, and I'm still delighted to have the conversation and learn about volcanoes as much as we can, and hopefully convince you that Volcano is not that bad. I'm not saying it's great. I'm saying it's not that bad.
Bro, I'm a volcano now. I'm pissed.
I'm gonna blow your stack here today. And joining us, and I have no idea what she thinks about Volcano, but she's a research scientist at NASA's JPL. It's Dr. Laura Kerber.
Hello.
How's it going? We haven't seen you since the Total Recall episode.
Yes, we talked about Mars at that point, and now we get to talk about my other favorite topic, which is volcanoes.
Yes.
So if you think no one likes to film Volcano, you should hang out with some more geologists, because it's one of the fan favorites.
What?
One of the greatest movies of all time, Volcano.
Oh, Volcano.
Oh my God. Now, I want to say this before we hop in here. I'm very pro Volcano.
The movie Volcano.
No. The phenomena.
Got it.
Volcano. The geological structure that is Volcano.
I feel like then you have to say I'm pro volcanoes.
I'm pro volcanoes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm
so excited to learn and discuss that phenomenon.
Exactly. And I have many questions because of my great and deep respect for volcanoes. that I feel this movie does not do justice.
But couldn't you admit that it at the very least sparks some curiosity about volcanoes and creates a discussion such as this one?
I mean, I guess, look, in the same way that I don't know, dude. In the same way, like, I just can't.
I spent so much time watching this today.
You
spent the exact amount of time we all did.
Yeah, that is true.
The length of the film, unless you watched in weird pieces or slow-mo.
No, I didn't. Although a lot of it is in some kind of weird slow-mo.
That's a very good point. Dr. Laura and I were just talking before you got here about how this one scene stuck in our head from when we first saw it, which is the guy jumping out of the train and totally not making it and melting into the lava. I don't know why. I feel like we're not the only ones.
Yeah,
I feel like if you saw it when it came out, that's the big scene you recall.
Yeah, you said it's like, oh, yeah, let's talk about Volcano. Huh, I wonder what Volcano was about. I last watched it in 1997. Big fan of Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah,
and then,
same.
You know, but the big scene basically the only scene I remembered was that guy sinking slowly into lava with absolutely no chance.
Yeah, I love that scene.
I mean,
like, what's not to love about that scene, Mech?
What's not to love about that scene? Dude, it's just.
He got this guy. He's carrying this dude. It's a heroic moment. His sneakers are melting to the platform.
It's his fault that the train is down there in the first place because he kept the trains running when the geologist said that they should shut them down.
Damn, good call. Karma. Yeah.
It's one of the only moments of the film, and I think this is why it has any emotional impact whatsoever, not because of it being realistic or interesting or
any characters having
good backstory. Yeah, exactly. He's literally the only character in the movie, maybe, that like makes a choice and then pays for it. You know what I mean? It's the only part of the movie that has any semblance of like structure or like just narrative value at all. It's like, oh, he made a mistake and now.
And that's why it's the best part of the film.
There's the whole character arc of his daughter who is, you know, like how did he be such a badass and get a daughter that's just such a wuss?
Right,
and
sure.
She's so scared of everything, and then she makes the transition into being a helpful and useful human being
that's
that actually cares about others and is not afraid.
She goes and saves the little baby kid.
Yeah,
she starts helping all the people in the hospital.
Yeah, I just couldn't buy it though, dude. If you're a 6-year-old kid and you're at a Hard Rock Cafe, there's no parents, there's no rules, and you're getting unlimited fries and burgers, it's like, why are you getting up from the table? Is there another Hard Rock Cafe you can go to? Because that's the only destination that would make you leave. He's not getting up. He's not leaving. I was very. You know what's so crazy to me? The most like relevant celebrity character to me is his daughter that's played by God, what is her name?
Oh, I don't know.
She's great. She's in Girls. She's in like
she's in a bunch of stuff. It was kind of funny to look back and see all the actors that you did recognize. I was like, oh, before the Avengers.
Don Cheadle rules, man.
He's great.
He's so good.
Dude, I mean,
it probably took like a day for him because he's always in the like control center.
They shot his stuff so quickly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just assume that maybe I'm wrong. Like he was probably never talking to Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, like once or twice, maybe. But
it was all. And I just wanted to comment on the daughter for a second because when the whole thing's over, they're like leaving. It's like raining during the day, and I mean, spoiler alert: here's the end of Volcano. They survive, but she's like totally just like she didn't experience anything. You know, he asked her like, oh, you wanted to see the Beverly Center. How was it? And as a joke, she's like, Dad, it was cool. And that's like the last line of the movie also. And she's just like, as if, I don't know, like as if she just spent a day at the park. But like, she definitely saw a bunch of people die. She was injured.
Second degree burn. I mean, there are things about this movie. There's also this like weird, like racial B plot.
Oh my God.
It's like,
why does that keep coming up in this movie, man?
Very uncomfortable to watch. I don't know if it was uncomfortable at the time. It feels like this very like post Rodney King LA thing that they're trying to push where it's like
big time.
Yeah, where it's like, hey, a black guy is getting arrested and then he helps out and the cop is racist, but then the cops aren't racist. It's like, what is this?
He like somehow gets over his racism sort of, and then there's a part where his friend, like he goes and tells the guy like, hey, get on this fire truck and you know, it'll take you back home. Like he's being nice all of a sudden.
As if all of the houses aren't already like ash at that point.
Exactly.
Hours after they caught fire.
And his friend, this cop friend, goes, you're a good man.
Yeah.
It's like you were just arresting a dude for no reason other than his race.
The only realistic... Well, I don't even know if it's realistic. It's just such a funny thing that's very present in the movie. It's like, even when there is a volcano in the middle of the Beverly Center, like, the greatest threat to black people is the LAPD.
So, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's somehow. So insane.
Well, that's what I thought the whole time I was watching it. I was thinking, this is the most 90s movie ever. It's got Tommy Lee Jones, got Anne Heche, it's got all these people. Everyone's looking at their pagers all the time.
Yeah, beepers, I love that.
But then there's these things that are all universal and timeless, like
racism.
Yep.
Some things just haven't changed in all this time.
Yeah.
It's really true. Yeah, it's one of the only, like, contemporary things about the movie, almost.
Yeah.
had to carry. But the child is this, like, the child ends up having this, like, all lives matter kind of take at the end where everybody's covered in ash and he's like, look at their faces.
Yeah.
They all look the same.
Yeah, the funniest part about that to me, too, was he said that answering a question about where and what his mom looks like. He's like, where's your mom? What's she look like? And he looks around and goes, look at their faces. They all look the same. And then that's finished. So it's like, this kid just doesn't have a mom anymore, I guess. She's either dead or they're not going to be able to find her because he can't describe anything about her.
But at least he has like a regressive outlook on race now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
This is not... Yeah, I mean, it's such a...
But I found a lot of other themes, though, that sort of come into the present day, like trying to build new metro lines and stymied at every turn.
So
and then
true.
Every single thing that's in charge of, like, regulatory agency in charge of transit and everything else in LA just constantly fighting with each other.
Oh,
I thought that's a timeless theme.
Yeah, I like that. That's true.
Well, see, wait, this is so interesting because it's like you bring a scientist on the show to be an expert on something, but the reality is the comedian guests, myself very much included, are so dumb that it's like, she's like, yes, I'm a scientist, but also I'm just smarter than you, so I, like, know about, like, civic issues that are happening. It's there's no part of science that...
She's not here just to educate us on volcanoes. I mean, hopefully we can learn some life lessons, what to do in our taxes. I mean, I'm here to
learn it all. I do subscribe to a transportation in Los Angeles newsletter, so...
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, yes, you're here to be an expert, but you're also here to make sure that this doesn't devolve into me and Ethan just, like, making caveman sounds. Or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Grunting and impersonating Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of her expertise, I do want to ask you about the projects you're working on right now. We emailed briefly about a moon project you're doing, Moon Diver. So can you first tell us about that?
Yeah, so I've been really busy lately. I'm leading this project called Moon Diver, and the idea is to go to the moon and then land a rover, which is an extreme terrain two-wheeled rover that would rappel down into a lunar lava tube.
Whoa.
And so in ancient times on the moon, there were enormous lava flows. And if you think the lava flow in volcano is large, that's nothing. This one, you know, there's some lava flows that have happened on the Earth a long time ago, maybe 15 million years ago. There's one 65 million years ago. 250 million years ago. And it's so much lava comes out that it travels, you know, 600 miles in a couple days. Or it covers an area the size of continental Europe, you know, with like 4 feet
of lava.
Because
of the amount of lava or how fast it's moving?
It's a combination of both. It's just an enormous amount of lava that comes out, and it's pretty fluid lava. And so over a series of weeks or months, then it covers this enormous area. So if you think about in Washington State, a huge portion of the state is covered in meters and meters of basalt and just cliffs of basalt, hundreds of feet high. And so those are all from this thing that happened about 15 million years ago, which was the Columbia River basalt eruption. So those similar eruptions happen on all the planets. We're not that familiar with them because they don't happen very often. So if you imagine the whole evolutionary history of mankind, that kind of eruption hasn't happened during that whole period, but it does frequently happen, and when it does happen, it almost everything on Earth goes extinct. So the one that was 250 million years ago in Siberia, that was the biggest one, and at that point I think 96% of all marine species went extinct within a couple million years.
Wow.
And so
is there a name for that extinction event?
That one is called, they call it the End Permian event, or the Great Dying, for a poetic term for it. And then the other one at the end of, it was 65 million years ago, we talk about the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs. Mm. At around the same time, there was a volcanic eruption of enormous magnitude in India. And so people go back and forth as to which one of those things was the real killer.
Is that a coincidental thing, or you think those are related?
Well, some people thought that the asteroid might have caused the volcanic eruption.
Oh, okay.
But then it's tough to tell because it seems like the volcanic eruption started a little bit before the asteroid hit. So it seemed like it probably just really bad luck.
Wow.
And so, these volcanic eruptions happen on lots of the other planets as well. And on the moon, if you look at this, the face of the moon, it's mostly kind of a light gray and it has dark gray spots on it. Mm-hmm. And all those dark gray spots are these kind of lava events. And so the mission is to go there and to drop down into this pit, which is about 350 feet deep. Okay. And at the bottom, it has this enormous tunnel. We don't know how far back it goes, just a cave in the moon. Whoa. And the idea is to rappel down the side of this wall with this rover and take a look at all of the layers of lava down that, you know, 300 feet.
Yeah.
And see, it's kind of like the Grand Canyon, like a history of the moon kind of exposed in the wall of this pit. So
damn.
That's what I'm working on. So it's a contest. Everyone has different missions. They'd like to go to different places like Neptune or to Venus or asteroids. And they all write a proposal and they say, hey, NASA, pick me. And this time NASA's probably going to choose two. Which would launch in 2025, 2027 time period. Wow. So we're one of the, you know, maybe, you know, dozen or two dozen missions that's going to be proposed to this contest.
And Mekki and I can't propose anything. It's just people like you. Or
yeah, like we just kind of like float an idea past, kind of just huck one over there.
I feel like we
thing.
Have some good ideas.
Yeah.
Maybe next time. I think this time. Hmm. We've been working on this proposal for about a year and a half, and so you're
we have a lot of free time. Yeah. We work
we're
fast.
We're pretty quick. Yeah.
Like I think even right now we could probably come up with like a. You could maybe fly a
jetpack.
Yep. To the rings
to
of Saturn.
The rings of Saturn.
Ah,
is kind of just if you can
chemical
surf
balance
on them
what's there.
Just check. That's just do like a cool trick on it. Do like one cool trick.
Oh.
Do you feel like one?
I mean, that would be good publicity for NASA if we could get like some high quality footage of us doing you know, like grinding rails on Saturn.
This
or
could
something.
Be like a Red Bull thing.
Red
I
Bull,
would even,
Tony
I would
Hawk.
Compromise. Yeah, we could do like a like this bowl that you're talking about. Sounds like skatable. So
right.
I feel like maybe we do your thing another time, but then this time for just to get more eyes on it, money,
yep.
get the space
trending.
You want the space to trend.
Yeah.
And so I think if we go
Monster Energy drink too. Could,
yes.
If you're listening,
gotta
whatever.
Get some sponsorship.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that's what I have to say about your year and a half of research. I am too stupid to ask questions about it. No, wait, I do. Wait, I have some genuine questions here. Okay. So are there like factions of NASA or factions of the space exploration community that are like, we need to be on the moon? That's the only place we should be focusing our efforts. And then you have other people that are like, it's most important that we look at asteroids. Like, what's the sort of infighting that makes you guys decide the priority in sort of the solar system?
So there actually are factions, and we divide them up into so-called analysis groups, and then they all have names. So there'll be MEPAG is the Mars one, Mars Exploration Program Analysis Group or something.
Okay.
And then League, that's a cool name. That's the moon one, Lunar Exploration Analysis Group. But then the small bodies like asteroids and comets, theirs is called SBAG, which is like an unfortunate name. Small Bodies Analysis Group. So every 10 years we get together and everyone kind of fights. And then we write a document saying this is our priority for the next decade. And then NASA kind of follows that priority when they're thinking about what missions to send. So the big, huge missions, they always have to be written in this document. And then they have a medium mission class that they have a whole list of a bunch of them that you have to choose from one of those in order to, if you want to propose a mission. And then at the smaller class, which is this class that I'm doing, it's you can say whatever you want. And you have to ground it in the document to see, like, everyone wants to learn this thing about lava, so therefore I have a lava-related mission. But you can think of whatever you want, whatever goal. But yeah, there's the science fighting kind of between locations and things you want to solve. And then there's also broader NASA, which is the human exploration program and the science exploration program. And they all have their own directorates.
Hmm.
And so we call them the human people. And then we are like the robot people. And then there's some technology people and some aeronautics people.
Okay, cool.
And but so those arguments are mostly founded on like, is it what you would glean from the mission? And do all of those things tie back to like, okay, so you're talking about we want to essentially look at layers of rock to determine sort of the history of the moon by looking at all of so. Is it because the moon will tell us something about Earth or... Right, okay, yes.
Right, yeah, so you kind of have to tell... You can't... just say, I want to learn about the history of the moon, because you don't get enough buy-in if you just go there. You have a huge moon community. They're already, you're preaching to the choir. Of course, let's go to the moon. But if you want to get people to sort of buy into your concept, then you have to say, what is the moon going to tell us about everything else or about a fundamental process of the solar system? So in our particular case, we're learning about lava and volcanism specifically in the fact that every planet goes through this sequence where they first form and they have an original crust, and then the inside of the planet melts and then resurfaces the crust with lava. That happens to all the planets, happens to Earth. And so almost all the planets in the solar system are at that second stage where the whole surface has been covered in lava, and then they're just, that's where they ended, like Venus and Mars and Mercury. But then the moon is it, and the Earth kept going. So it has plate tectonics, as we learned in the movie. It keeps recycling rock, and then it gets lots of interesting volcanoes and crusts and continents and things that all the other planets don't have. And the moon is on the other side of the spectrum, where it had its original crust that it originally had. It basically stopped. It had a little bit of volcanism that came up and resurfaced just the dark parts of the moon, and then it's frozen in time forever. Whoa. And so we can go and see the original primary crust and then the secondary crust still preserved, whereas everywhere else they're gone. And so that's why the moon is important to tell us about what's going on with the other planets.
So are we on like a sort of third crust? Is that, and I mean, hey, not going to sleep well tonight. Is there a fourth crust? Is there more crust coming? Yeah.
Well, so the Earth is, you could call it a third crust, but it's really been resurfaced many, many times. The Earth just keeps constantly resurfacing itself. That's why when you look at the moon or other planets, they're covered in craters, and the Earth, you see one or two craters, maybe, if you know where to look. Otherwise, it's completely fresh, and that's because it keeps melting. And so every time you melt the crust, you get a rock with a little bit more silica in it. And
what's silica?
Silica is
Is that the gel that comes in like a new thing you buy?
That's exactly what it is.
Wait, why can't I eat that?
Yeah. And why
it's
do
not
you
good
want
for you.
To?
Yeah.
Because it looks yummy and they told me I can't.
They just put it in there as a desiccant. So it just absorbs water.
A desiccant is something that absorbs water.
Yes.
A desiccant is something that absorbs water.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it does good.
Yeah, it does good. And so they put it in something. If there's going to be something that sweats, then they put the little silica in there so that it absorbs all the water that would have come out of that. And so the thing doesn't go bad.
Is that in our deodorant?
I don't know.
Okay.
So if I
just curious,
if I eat it, would it be like drinking a bottle of water? Would it hydrate me?
No, because it sucks water in.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
But what happens when the silica gel is full? Like, how much water can it take?
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
See, this is a problem. It's like, it's literally like the listener at home is like, God, no, get back to the fucking thing about the silica. And it's like, no, listener, I want you to understand, I'm so stupid that it's like an endless, you know when they like rerouted the lava?
I do know
that.
Yeah.
Basically, the information you're telling me is lava, and the city that is my mind will never burn down because it is so hollow and full of massive, you know, tunnels where information should be.
Yeah.
That all of your data is going to flow right into there,
right into the Pacific
and
Ocean,
out to the sea.
Straight up, you're going to run out of lava before I'm done learning things because I'm so stupid and have that much space in my brain.
Well, maybe by your third crust.
Yeah. This is true.
Start absorbing some info.
So essentially the Earth is in this like dynamic place where it continues to resurface perhaps forever or...
Eventually it will run out of heat. And so Venus should have had about the same heat as we did because it's about the same size. But then you're also counting on how much radioactive material you had in to keep you warm. And that's what we don't know about Venus, because when we look at Venus's surface, it was clearly resurfaced by catastrophic volcanoes about half a billion years ago.
Wow.
The whole surface resurfaced by volcanoes.
Damn.
But then since then, not a lot has been happening on Venus. So is it still alive inside? Does it have lava flows? Actually, one of the other missions that I'm competing against is looking into those kinds of questions on Venus.
I gotta be honest with you. That sounds like a pretty important mission.
It's pretty important.
You accidentally sold me on that one. I don't know how much I like the moon tunnel now. I kind of want the hot Venus, cold Venus experiment is a little interesting to me.
Yeah, maybe call them up and get them in here. That sounds pretty cool.
You should.
I have a question that might be a I mean, I guess a pitch for a movie, if Volcano can be a movie.
Okay, go ahead.
Would it be bad or good if all the magma inside the Earth's core, or that layer of the Earth's core, were to just turn to rock and get cold? Would that be good or bad?
It kind of depends. I guess in some ways it's bad because we're constantly losing atmosphere to space. And then what happens now is there's a lot of atmospheric gases that are trapped inside the Earth and they come out through volcanoes. So volcano is like a atmosphere factory. And so if you shut off all the volcanoes and then you just continue to lose atmosphere, then eventually you'll lose all your atmosphere. And so some people think that's what happened to Mars, that it stopped being active and then it's a little small, you know, it's smaller than we are. And so it couldn't hold on to its atmosphere very well. It lost all of its atmosphere and here it is today. A planet like Venus, it hasn't been very active, but in the past it was very, very active, and it has an atmosphere so dense that it would take billions of years to get rid of it. So.
Yeah.
This should be the whole podcast. I ask a question, then I never talk again. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
That is what it is.
I try to just ask a question, get the hell out of the way.
I know, and I feel an obligation to like goof around and be smart, but it's like, someone just sat here and told me that Mars's atmosphere floated away into space. What?
Yeah.
Hey, someone tell me this before.
Well, maybe. We don't know this for sure, right?
Yeah, we have a whole mission, actually, that we sent to Mars recently called MAVEN. And its whole job is to measure in the current day how much atmosphere Mars is losing to space. Mm-hmm. And then we can use that to calculate backwards in time to figure out how thick Mars's atmosphere was in the past.
Ooh. To try to figure out what was probably cooking on Mars at the time. Like, would life have been possible when they had an atmosphere?
Exactly.
Could we make an atmosphere?
Yes.
What? Wait, hang on.
Well, so here's the thing. I think we might have touched on this when we were talking about
Total Recall.
Mm-hmm. Because there's two things that could happen to the Martian atmosphere. One, it can float away into space and be lost forever. Mm-hmm. Two, it can be trapped in minerals on the surface of the planet. And so the more it's trapped in minerals, the more it's still there to then be released again. And so you could actually reverse what's happened on Mars. And so in the 90s, everyone thought, oh, Mars is going to be covered in this rock called carbonate. It's full of CO2. You could release it all and make this dense CO2 atmosphere and everyone will live happy ever after. But then when we went to Mars with a bunch of missions, we couldn't find any carbonate rocks and we realized, oh my gosh, did all the atmosphere get lost to space and it's lost forever. That's what we're faced with right now.
Whoa.
That so Maven.
Oh,
I had to do it.
Hey, God damn it. See, Ethan, this
you're
is exactly.
You're allowed to make jokes, but it's not. I'm not trying to be smart.
Dude.
I just had to say it. It's by law.
You have a disease.
I had to say that.
Ethan is canceled. He made me watch Volcano, and then he said, that's so Maven.
Listen, I want to play a game that brings us back to Volcano. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. So this game is called, it's a famous game. Everybody knows we're going to play it. How much do you Volcano?
How much do you Volcano?
Oh, God. So I'm going to ask you, Mech, for the answers. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully Dr. Laura Kerber will know the answer. And if not, I have it here on a piece of paper. And keep in mind, these are answers from the internet.
Yeah.
So you probably know more than what I have here. Okay. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. How large is the danger area around a volcano?
What kind of answer am I giving here? Is this like a radius?
In mile. Yeah, exactly.
And you just said in miles?
In miles.
Bro, I was going to definitely say feet. Wow, you just overplayed your hand. Okay, how big is it? Okay, well, I'm thinking about that one that exploded in Washington. That seemed to be a big problem for a lot of people. I'm going to say 40 miles.
Okay.
I don't know. It would depend on what volcano.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's what the scientists always say, by the way.
That's a good
we always say
answer.
It depends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a volcano like the Hawaiian volcano, it's so much less explosive. Mm. But then the big explosive volcanoes like Mount St. Helens.
Right.
And then the thing about Mount St. Helens is everyone was like, oh, yeah, I'm a certain number of miles away, you know, 10 or 20 miles away. I'm very safe. But then when that volcano went off, the whole volcano split in half, and the entire half of the volcano went tumbling towards all the people, and a bunch of volcanologists died, even though they had calculated where they thought that they should be.
Oh my God. There's that one really cool like photo of a volcanologist that like did die, and he like fell on his camera film, right? Like that was the deal.
Oh really? I didn't even know.
Yeah, that's like terrifying. I mean, this is just such a like Reddit headline. Like again,
fascinating.
Cool, yeah. I saw that. Yeah,
the fact that half of it split too—that's completely ridiculous. So do you want to take?
Yeah, what's the answer?
It's about a 20-mile radius. It says.
What did I say?
40. It's pretty good.
Shit. Yeah, well, sorry, I'm gonna live.
He's gonna be
idiots.
Safe.
Idiots.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Okay, what percentage of the Earth's surface is volcanic in origin?
10%, Ethan.
I'm gonna say. I mean, I know it's more than 2/3. So,
okay,
I'm gonna guess like 70%.
More than 80%, it says. Okay. Yeah.
Whoa.
Which I
also, what's up with the other parts? What is it? Just old rock,
like
old
mountains, sedimentary rocks, like the Rockies, for example. Those aren't volcanoes.
What, they just like stacked up over time?
Those actually come from way beneath the earth, and so they're thrust up.
Is that where tectonic plates bump into each other forever? And they just sort of
like the Himalayas too. Like India came sailing to the north and crashed into Asia, and then made the Himalayas.
Wow.
So you have lava mountains and crunch mountains.
Yeah.
Got it.
Exactly. Lava mountains, for example, like the Cascades in Washington. Those are all lava mountains. The Andes, a lot of those are volcanoes. Mountains like the Rockies and the Himalayas are tectonic mountains. But then the entire ocean floor, the reason I said 2/3 is the entire ocean floor is volcanic.
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Volcanoes feel like exotic to me because they're always like in like Italy or like Hawaii. They're always like a vacation destination. It's so weird to me. Like Mount St. Helens is like, what?
Yeah.
It's like,
they can pop up anywhere. La Brea Tar Pits.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, I guess
just
that's
never
true.
Know.
Yeah, that's what the movie teaches you. You never know.
You never know.
Can never
in
be
your
safe.
Backyard.
Mount Wilshire.
Okay, here's another one. How many active volcanoes are there on Earth?
Ethan.
Yep.
There are 2,500 active volcanoes on Earth.
Okay.
I would say hundreds.
Okay.
Like 400?
400 is very close. It says more than 500.
Okay.
And more than half of these volcanoes are part of the Ring of Fire, which is a region that encircles the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, Polynesia.
Sounds very scary.
I don't know if Polynesia is a thing. I just know that at Disney World, there's the Polynesian Resort, and it's vaguely volcano reminiscent.
Oh,
So that's kind of what I know about that.
You learn everything from Disney.
Yeah, pretty much. I just kind of went to Disney World, and I was like, got it. Back to L.A., baby.
I learned a fact I realized today. I walked by somebody down here watching Romeo Must Die, if you remember this movie. And
I don't.
Oh, you don't remember Jet Li's Romeo Must Die?
I do yeah. remember that movie.
Aaliyah's what? Romeo Must Die, a hip-hop karate movie. Oh, okay, just me. Fair enough. Anyways, there's a part of the movie where like a gangster is talking about crabs, and he's like, that's a weird thing about crabs, you know, they one tries to get out, the other one's pulling back down. And I always remembered that crab fact because of Romeo Must Die.
Wait, it's like
the guy sinking into the lava part of volcano. It's like that crab part is the enduring part of Romeo Must Die.
Yeah, crabs are like in a box and they like, you know, they're climbing over each other and one gets close to the top, the other crabs will drag him back down. They won't let him escape.
Dude, they're communists. I love it.
Yeah, if we're down here, we're all down here, baby.
Yeah, solidarity.
So okay, is the sound of an eruption quiet or loud?
I mean, come on, man.
Just asking questions
here. This is a trick question, obviously.
Okay.
Listener, I want you to email Ethan again.
BadScience@secret.com.
BadScience@secret.com. It's fucking loud, obviously, right? I hate that this is a trick.
Yeah. I mean, again, it depends on the volcano, but they can be very loud. There was one that was so loud that everyone heard it around the whole world.
Krakatoa? Whoa.
Yeah. It's like the shot heard around the world is like the volcano heard like within 1,000 miles of.
Oh wait, literally though, was that Krakatoa? Is that real?
Yeah,
and it was.
I think it was in 1815.
Wait, that was like 2 days ago. What?
Krakatoa?
Yeah, I thought that was like a long time. Well, I mean, it's called Krakatoa. That sounds like some Game of Thrones fucking
nonsense. Yeah, it does. That's true. Sounds ancient.
Where was Krakatoa, by the way?
I think it's near Indonesia.
Oh, crazy.
Because it's on the Ring of Fire. Because if you think about it, there's tsunamis in Indonesia, volcanic eruptions. Japan, there's earthquakes. Oh, yeah. California, there's earthquakes. There's volcanoes in the Cascades in Washington, the Aleutian Islands. Man. All of that is part of the Ring of Fire. And the Andes also, and all of the volcanoes in Central America as well.
Sounds like such a nice place to live, the Ring of Fire.
Yeah, the Philippines.
That's where we live, is it not?
Yeah, yeah, it is. I'm going to touch on that in a second. I wanted to ask about the sound thing, because I read that they can be quiet, which I thought was...
Like Hawaii?
Ridiculous to me. I just didn't know that at all. Because I had, on a different podcast, we were talking about the loudest natural sound, and that was a volcano. So I was like, oh, all volcanoes are just super freaking loud. And so to read that they could be quiet and make just like these hissing noises when they erupt was incredible to me.
Yeah, there's a great video on YouTube of kind of in like in the movie where the lava starts coming out of the ground. They have a video where that actually happens. Someone's take the video. They're walking around and this fissure, they're checking out this fissure. And then lava just gently comes up through the fissure and starts going. And then like they're like, all right, we got to get out of here.
Let's get 20 miles away.
Okay, wait. So I have a question, not to interrupt your question.
Please, please.
But, or your questions. But, and this is relative to the movie. By the way, if anybody's listened this far and like hasn't seen the movie, or hasn't seen it for a long time, basically, it very bad movie. Tommy Lee Jones spills breakfast food. Then he goes to work. There's a very steamy pipe. He says, steamy pipe, not so good. Then someone goes down there. There's lava. They're like, guys, there's lava. No good. Tommy Lee Jones starts running around. Everybody's running around. Everybody for the rest of the movie is only yelling and running.
Yep.
Even in the command center, if you look in the background, the extras that are in there never stop moving.
It's an like, emergency situation, man.
It's like, guys, sit down at your fucking desk and do some goddamn work then. What
there's,
are we
there's no time.
Dude,
no time.
Email. There was email in 1997 or whatever.
Everyone had to be on the phone beeping.
Everybody's just running papers around the office constantly.
Yep.
That happens for 2 hours. Lava goes everywhere. Basically, they knock down a building next to the Beverly Center.
In 20 minutes. They demolish
the
building.
It stops a flow of lava as the building is falling. It's about to hit Tommy Lee Jones' daughter, but luckily he's able to sprint 100 yards and move her 3 feet away.
Yeah, that part was very funny. Dude, he just jumps on her.
It's so stupid. And
jumps on her and rescues her from a falling building.
Yeah. And also, yeah. So anyway, that's what this movie is. But so as you can imagine in what I just described, there's a lot of lava moving towards people.
Yes.
And so my question is, if you're like trying to escape from lava, like there's a gentleman who tries to jump off of a train with a person he's saving. He can't out jump the lava, so he jumps into the lava and throws a man out of the range of the lava. But can you fucking stand next to lava like that in just street clothes?
As someone who stood next to lava,
here we go.
You can be within a couple feet of it, and it's not a big deal. It depends on how hot it is and how fast it's flowing. But I say I was within. I mean, I walked up to it and I took my hammer and I stuck my hammer into the lava to get some lava out.
What?
But I had to put my sweatshirt in front of my face because it was so hot. So usually you wear like a suit made out of aluminum foil and then you can stick your hammer in the lava.
And you put a sweater on your face?
Yeah. You work for NASA? You just had like, they're like, yeah, just take this hoodie and get a fucking hammer of lava for us.
Were you five?
Yeah, what's going on?
What'd you do with a hammer also?
Well,
that's for nails.
Well, it's a geologist hammer.
Oh,
my rock hammer. So yeah.
So it's meant to sample lava.
Right. If you see anyone, if you can look up people sampling lava, it's usually a bunch of geologists, either with their tinfoil outfit or if they haven't brought it along, then they just like put their arm in front of their face and stick their hammer into some lava.
So
and then
silly.
You bring along a bucket full of water and you put the lava right in the bucket of water to cool it off.
What is the hammer made out of? Is this again? I just started watching Game of Thrones. No spoilers. Not going to say any. But also, hey, just watch the Red Wedding last night. Hey, ruined my week. What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, that comes at you sideways.
That was insane. Anyway,
that's like jumping into some lava.
Yes. Yeah. So, but does so obsidian? Could like is it what? First of all, what is the hammer made out of?
Probably steel.
What? Just like from the store?
Yeah.
What?
Just like a regular hammer. Lava is very hot compared to what you would like to touch, but it's not that hot compared to things like steel.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
What if there was a volcano that just was erupting molten steel? Would that be like a big issue?
Now that's a movie.
That would be an issue.
That'd be like really bad.
Yeah, that'd be pretty hot.
And what, by the way, what happens if you were to, say, have a hammer that was forged out of obsidian? Could you put that into lava, or would that shatter it or something?
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be the best idea, because obsidian is basically lava.
Right.
But it's, say, if I take my lava and I put it right into a bucket of water, I can make something that looks like obsidian because it's a glass. And so I've just taken a liquid and I've quenched it into a glass, and that's kind of what obsidian is. So if you heated it up again, then you would just melt it again.
Wait, you just said that something that looks like obsidian, would it not be obsidian? It would be...
I think obsidian has a different composition, but it's still from volcanoes. It's just from slightly different kind of volcano than the one that...
Interesting. And so this lava that you stuck your hammer in, is this red lava, or is this kind of like blackish, like looks like burnt toast lava?
So it'll be black on the outside, and then you stick your hammer in and you pull it out so that you get the red interior, the hot stuff.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the streaming wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The break is over. Here we go, back to the show about science.
I can't believe that this is all so simple, more or less.
And one time we were out there with a bunch of people and we were standing around, and then we met some of our friends who happened to be out in the lava field as well. And we were looking, there was a big skylight and there's a river of lava passing underneath. And so the guy who was leading our trip, he was saying, "Hey, can everyone move about 20 feet this way? Because you're literally all standing on top of the roof of this lava river. And Whoa. I'm afraid there's too many of you and you're going to collapse into the lava river, and then we lose the whole, you know, Mars orbiter team all at once."
Jesus.
And so, but yes, we moved to the side, but we could look down into this window and you could see the river of lava passing underneath you. And so it was lunchtime, so we made a bunch of burritos and we cooked them on the fissures and aluminum foil. And then we threw the aluminum foil into the lava tube. And then we were all joking because, you know, some geologist was going to find this rock and be like, "Oh, it's anomalously aluminum rich."
Wow. And it's like, in reality, it's just a bunch of scientists littering
into a volcano.
Trash.
But it was cool because you'd throw like an apple core in there and the apple core would just fall and sit right on top of the lava and then slowly sink down into it.
Wow.
So, okay, this is another question. If you did, say, just for a second, like accidentally you're walking around in a field, lava is very quiet, as we've just learned, you accidentally just, as if dog poop, step in a little bit of lava, then what happens?
Then you burn so badly, really,
but,
really badly.
But like, if you just like stick your foot in real quick and you're like, "Oh shit," like, are you fine? Or like,
well, see, the thing about lava is it's sticky. And so if you get it on your skin or something like that, you're like, that was hot. It sticks to you. So it would just continue to burn you.
And does it like spit at you the way it did Tommy Lee Jones's daughter? You know, like they were kind of near the lava and it was like,
Yeah,
it kind of like threw some at her. Like, it does that?
Yeah, it does do that.
Okay.
So one time when I was out in the lava field, we were standing there watching some lava come down a hill, and I was thinking, "Wow, my feet are really hot," you know. And then we're watching the lava. It was kind of dusk, and so really pretty. And then we realized that so quietly, another river of lava had come on the other side of us. Whoa. And so we were almost in a situation where we were going to be cut off from escaping because we had rivers of lava on either side. And they're not very deep rivers of lava, but you can't cross them if they're, you know, you can't like be like, "Oh, just the moment I put my foot in the lava."
Wait, the floor literally was lava.
Yeah. Well, then I was thinking, my feet feel so hot. the lava is far enough, you know, it's a couple, like, 7 feet away. And then I realized, no, the lava is actually under us. And we were standing on a crest, and there was lava under us, like, by a foot or two, like, it was filtering through the lava rocks under us. And so then I went, we kind of left, and we went to another place to get the lava with my rock hammer. And that's when my friend, she was taking a picture of me next to the lava, and I was like, you know, my feet really hurt, and they're getting quite hot, and I have to move. And she's like, just a minute, just for the picture, you know, these selfie deaths. And so then,
you know, these selfie
lava deaths. And so I actually melted the soles off my shoes.
Whoa.
And
just from standing there.
Yeah. And so I had like the soles that had fallen off of my shoes because the glue had all melted. Uh-huh. And so then I had to tie them back on with paracord because I had to hike like 5 or 6 miles out through the lava field to get out.
So wait, was it like the film where they got like sticky and melty?
It was a little different because the rubber hadn't melted. It was just the glue that attached the rubber sole to my shoe. What volcanologists always do is they buy shoes that are stitched on and they cost a lot more money.
Ooh.
And so the ones that are glued on, yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know they were glued on.
Yeah. How dangerous nowadays is it being a volcanologist? Is that do a lot of people die? Do sometimes people die?
Yeah, like there's some. If you think about the famous volcanologists through history, there you'll be like, oh yeah, there was a couple that would go around studying volcanoes. They died, and in specific events, you might lose like one or two volcanologists
because they're too close.
Yeah.
Damn. It sounds like you've dodged some bullets here, some lava bullets.
Yeah.
You've been really close. How many times have you seen lava?
I've only seen lava a couple times actually, because I study mostly volcanoes on other planets. But I like to try and get out into the Earth and then study lava in person.
Sure,
this is from time to time,
dude.
Okay, I have a few more games here. Igneous rock is formed through the cooling and solidification of magma or lava. We know this, but what are the other two types of rock?
Igneous rock is kind of, say it again.
You don't have to say how the other ones form. I was just saying to review what we already know.
Right.
Igneous rock is formed through the cooling and solidification of magma or lava.
Uh-huh.
But there's two other types of rock.
Yeah, sedimentary rocks.
And
asteroids from outer space.
Metamorphic rocks.
Metamorphic rocks. That's correct.
We always say sedimentary, my dear Watson. And then another metamorphic I didn't like.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
See, that's why I'm not a comedian.
That is true. You guys are all under arrest for making that inside joke. You guys are canceled.
No, it's great.
Okay. Everyone has their own skill.
It's true.
This one, I'm still trying to find out what mine is. This one, I want you to answer in a Jeopardy format.
Okay.
So answering a question.
What is? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A unique volcanic rock that can float in water. It can also be used in beauty salons for removing dry skin.
What is charcoal? That's probably not true.
It's a good guess, though.
What is obsidian?
What is pumice?
Pumice.
Ah, pumice stone. God damn it.
Yes, I thought you might get that one, but that's okay. You still did great.
Thanks, man.
They have all these legends that if you're a Japanese fisherman and you're going around fishing in the sea, then you see all the pumice around your ship, then you have to get out of there immediately.
Whoa.
Because volcano they know time? There's a volcano probably erupting under the ocean. But what happens is the volcano erupts under the ocean and it's releasing all this gas into the water column. And then your ship is buoyant in water. But if your ship is not buoyant in gas plus water, which is less dense.
Okay.
And so your ship could instantly sink.
Oh my God.
And that's the kind of stuff that happened around Japan. And so people legends and to warn them about such things.
Dude, that would fuck you up so much too. You'd literally spend hundreds of years trying to unpack that and just like making up legends to be scared of it.
It would be a mystery of the town. No one would know. It would just be like, oh, they were cursed.
And if I saw that happen and someone was like, well, that was a fucking monster that sucked it under the ocean.
Yeah, huge squid.
And then you said, no, actually, it was a volcano and the density of the water changed because of the gas and water combination. I'd be like, hey, you're lying. You're a witch. Dead for sure. And the monster thing's real.
It's a much easier explanation.
And the Earth is 6,000 years old. And that's what Kevin said. That's what Kevin said.
Kevin.
Yeah.
How many degrees Kevin is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a lot of other great stuff I want to touch on here, guys. For example, this is a really stupid one, and I feel like, Mekki, since now I've gotten a feel for your movie taste and your age
level
is
of
showing
intelligence
a little
oh,
bit.
Okay. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Just the time period here. Kerber might be closer. Anne H., I believe it's pronounced, mm-hmm. Who was in this movie, lead in this movie.
Sure.
She was in four huge movies in 97. Do you, and A Volcano is one of them. So there's three other ones. Do you want to guess maybe what they were?
Was she, no, dude, because you know why? I looked at, on Wikipedia while I was watching it. Yeah. I looked at the director of this, and I looked at, like, I just looked at a bunch of people's Wikipedias, but now it all, like, mixed together in my head.
Right.
I know that she's not in The Bodyguard, right?
No, I think...
The director of the movie made The Bodyguard.
That's right.
Okay. Then, yeah, I don't know. But I looked it up, actually, because I was like, well, she's fantastic in this movie. Dreadfully underused. I mean, there's literally at one point... She's literally the only scientific expert they have, and Tommy Lee Jones is like, I don't know, like the head of like the water department or some shit
OEM,
like that.
Office OEM. Office of Emergency Management.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like, hey... Not real. And even if it is, shouldn't be. But dude, she's the only science expert on fucking volcanoes. She's right there and he's like, hey, go find my daughter at the Applebee's or whatever the fuck. It's like, dude, kill yourself, bro. There's one person that knows about lava and you just sent her to babysit.
Also, I gotta say, there's some... definite like romantic tension between the two of them that
which
they try
weird.
To build up, and it's so weird. Like, they do you remember the part where they're pushing the bus?
Yeah,
where
that was weird.
You know what I'm talking about, right? They're all pushing the bus, and it's like as if there's no time. He just like basically is on top of her and puts his arm like through her arm, so they're like touching, and they don't know each other at all. And he's like clearly way older than her. I don't know.
No,
I thought
but
that was crazy weird.
It's one of those like disaster movie things where like. At the beginning, he's got to see his kid, but he's like obsessed with his job as the like fucking
emergency top of emergency guy. Yeah,
like dude, hey, don't be passionate about that, bro.
Dude, he's controlling the whole situation, man. He's commanding everybody.
Yeah, like the movie's pushing this like he's addicted to work narrative the whole time, and then the other guy, Don Cheadle's character, is like, but I'm also addicted to work. Like, what is this?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Weird. Like,
maybe if we trusted each other, one of us could take a vacation. Every once in a while.
Exactly. He's like, you know, I sleep on your desk, and it's like, hey guys, what's this movie about at all? You know what I mean? Like,
and if there's not an emergency going on, what are they doing?
What are they doing?
You know, it's LA. There's constantly an emergency all the time.
I guess this is true.
That's true.
Like, but even at the end of the movie where they're like, oh yeah, the volcano's over, but there's a bunch of landslides happening up north.
Right.
And like,
he's
oh
like,
great.
I'm taking a vacation. That's when he's like, I've learned my lesson now. I'm out of here.
All those people can die.
Yeah. And then Don Cheadle's like, oh boy, I get to work for the government more.
More.
Like,
I didn't sleep, but I'm down. Let's do this.
Dude, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but then there's that moment where she, like, touches his face.
Yes.
And it's very, like, the disaster movie thing of, like, oh, like, his real ex-wife is yelling at him in the beginning.
Right.
And he drops the eggs. And now it's, like, the end of the movie where she touches his face. And then it's nice. And it's like, oh, I'm your new wife because we got along during the bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole...
It's very strange. I was just so happy they didn't kiss. Because I couldn't remember if they did or not, and so I was watching the movie thinking, if they kiss in this friggin' film, I'm gonna lose it.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that it didn't happen.
There were a couple of like really distinct things about this type of movie that I noticed that I don't know that I mean, okay, first of all, this is such a movie that your babysitter's husband would have on. This is such a like for me, for
yes,
I'm 24,
but I would be thrilled.
So maybe that yeah.
If I'm getting babysat and you put on Volcano, thrilled.
And then you have nightmares about that guy dissolving
in
the lava forever.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I did want to throw out here, and I'll just mention real quick, and H's movies were Donnie Brasco, Volcano, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and Wag the Dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
All
okay,
in
I haven't
one year.
Seen, wow, that's amazing. And then what happened to her? That's what I was thinking. She's so good
she's
in this
She's been
movie.
In a bunch of stuff,
she's
actually.
She's in a ton of stuff. Yeah, she works in TV. She's been like the like a series rag or like a lead on like a couple of shows. She's doing really well. She's a fantastic actress.
Awesome.
She's great.
Actor.
I read somewhere online that they were saying that you wouldn't melt like that, especially so fast, that you would just, like, die on top of lava and then just be on top of lava on fire.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's kind of like what we found when we throwing the apple core in the lava. It just sits there on top of the lava for quite
a
long time.
For a bit.
before it finally slowly sinks in.
Yeah, because that guy melted so fast.
Yeah, he did. He
10 was, seconds very quick.
His legs were gone, and
Okay, great.
In movies like that, it was just like a moment in time with movies where the plot with every single teen character was, will they get a piercing or not? So many episodes of television will they get a piercing or not? Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was the eternal, like, struggle between.
What did he say? There was a line where she says on the phone, like, oh, what about my piercing? I thought I was going to get my piercing.
I was
going to
get my nose pierced. And then her weird babysitter is like, oh, that's a good look.
Yeah, it's going to look great when you blow your nose. Yeah, that. And then he gets off the phone and he's like, my daughter's gonna get a tattoo. We'll see in this life, or like something weird. Like what is it? Like what? Like what is this? Like weird, fucking. God, I'm blanking on what's that dance movie? Dirty Dancing. No, what's the one where they're not allowed to dance?
Footloose.
Yeah, like what kind of weird Footloose attitude is this about, like, accessories? Yeah, like
he's
what?
Just showing that he's a crusty old man.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, another thing that's like completely evaporated from movies is like a character sticking gum on things.
I
swear to God, I used to see people stick gum on things all the time.
Good call.
I never see it anymore.
That's why it's a quintessential 90s movie.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is such a 90s movie. It hits everything on the head. And including Tommy Lee Jones yelling over a map. Three times in this movie, I counted, he's yelling, and he's got a map, and he's pointing to the map, and he's yelling at other people, and I swear to Christ, this happens in other Tommy Lee Jones movies. It's got to happen in The Fugitive. It's got to happen in U.S. Marshals. I want someone out there, please, make a supercut and email me Tommy Lee Jones yelling over maps.
Yes, do
I
it.
Need it.
It's really, it's like, it also, when you're watching it, because again, I looked it up in the middle, and it's a $90 million movie, and it's incredible how far CGI has come, because now even these like B movies that, you know, the entire game is they make a title similar to a real movie and hope that you buy it on demand by accident. Like that's like a business model.
Right.
Like even those movies look better than this movie looks.
There were a few shots and I looked it up and I don't have the information in front of me, but I was reading about how it was like 10 different companies that were in charge of the special effects and that it just took so long. It was like 300 plus people doing it. And yet still some of those scenes just look crap.
Oh, yeah, right? It's terrible. But it's just
because... And I'm trying to think back at the time. At the time, was I totally convinced by it? Wow, the special effects are amazing.
Yeah, same. Like, before going into it, because I, again, probably haven't seen it since then, I was like, this is going to be so sick. I'm going to love every... I'm going to be totally engulfed. And I was taken out of it so many times. It just looked crazy. Anytime they showed the tar pits, like at that first eruption, and the lava was coming out of there, it looked ridiculous.
I'm not going to lie. And I mean, this is not because I'm some kind of special effects person or whatever, but like, I know After Effects. Like, I like used After Effects, like that was like my job for a long time. I did, and it's just like, dude, you can on your computer at home make effects that look much better than this movie looks.
Can I pitch that we do some sort of, I don't care what it is. I don't care what the plot is. I don't care how long it is. A web series if you want. But let's do something where we can utilize lava effects.
Please.
We don't see lava enough. Am I right?
It's absolutely right. Yeah, because, you know, I love this movie Volcano, but it's because I have so few other choices.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. See, dude?
When I want to watch a whole movie about lava.
That's missing out on these volcano films.
And I just can't possibly enjoy this one because when I think, I'm like, I'm just... an age where the first disaster movie that I really saw was like The Day After Tomorrow. Like that's my entry into the genre. And it feels like that was like pretty advanced special effects. Now, I'm sure if I go back to it, I doubt it holds up super well.
Well, that's still what, 20, 25 years after?
No, it's like,
wasn't
10.
It like 2012 or something?
No, 2012 is a different movie.
Another disaster movie.
Yeah, different.
Which I never saw.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do, great. I mean, guys, I have so many, we're running out of time, but I have so many questions about the tar pits, about why the whole LA thing, like how screwed are we because it's a geologically unstable area. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah. Well, so we're on the edge of the Ring of Fire, but we're in this very interesting part of it where most of the Ring of Fire, the Pacific plate is plunging underneath the continental plates and then it melts and then you cause all these volcanoes to happen. But in this particular area in LA, instead of a plunging plate, it's just a sliding plate along the San Andreas. So if you ever want to talk about San Andreas, talk about another amazing film.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I'd love
call
to watch
it. A film, yeah.
Okay, great.
The Rock, it's a movie starring The Rock about rocks.
Ooh,
so,
wow.
Come on.
Yeah,
it has Caltech in it.
Wow.
So
I love all this.
Here we are in LA, and we're just sliding along. And that's the San Andreas Fault. And so we get, instead of, we don't have any volcanoes here. That's, I'd like to say, volcano isn't so bad. I thought it would be worse, like geologically speaking.
Okay.
The only bad thing is that the whole premise of the whole thing, which is that there's a volcano under LA. That's just not reasonable to think that that would happen.
Okay.
But then if you assume that that happened, all the stuff that then follows from that is not that bad.
Okay.
You know, the lava is like way faster than it should be and stuff like that, but not too bad. So here we are in the LA basin. The whole basin is underlain with faults. And so they're causing earthquakes all the time. Hmm. And it's just going to continue happening for as long as we're here. Everyone's kind of waiting for the next huge earthquake to strike.
Right.
And actually, the whole mountain range that's to the north of LA, the San Gabriels, those are all as a result of there's a kink in that fault. It's trying to slide along, and then it's got a little kink in the fault, and it keeps going, sliding along. And so at that, there's a lot of stress there, and that made all of those mountains form.
Wow.
They're some of the fastest growing mountains in the world.
And so you're not afraid to live here?
A little bit, you know, as a geologist. If you want to be a professional geologist, you have to take an entire additional, like, multi-hour test to be a geologist in LA and California in general because of all the earthquakes.
Wow.
So if I lived in LA, I would not live on a hill.
Okay.
A lot of people live near on the hills, and they get the fires that come through, first of all.
Right.
And then the fires get rid of all the trees, and then it usually rains, and then without the vegetation, the hills are unstable, so they all collapse in these landslides.
Holy shit.
And then you get a bunch of earthquakes, and it's like the earthquakes trigger landslides and all this kind of stuff. So it's not a safe place to live. Like, but if you do want to live somewhere in LA, I would live somewhere not on a hill, and just on a regular, normal kind of flat area.
Yeah, my dream, if I ever get rich, is to move to Hancock Park. I feel like that would be like a good. Is that safe? Hancock
Park. I don't know where that is.
It's like pretty flat there. The house is really big.
And then the other part is to kind of have your buildings up to code. So a lot of times, if an big earthquake happens in some other country, you see a huge amount of devastation. The same level earthquake could happen here, and there's not nearly as much damage because all of the buildings are built with special architecture so that they don't fall down in an earthquake.
Well, not all the buildings, because let me tell you this shit, dude. I moved into this place. I don't live there now. I'd literally moved out because I didn't move out running away from this. I'm not making these kind of executive decisions controlling my life. It's not going that well, folks. But I lived in this place, and suddenly there was all this construction, and we get the building sends out a memo. It's just like, oh, hey, sorry about all the construction. I was like, yeah, they're like remodeling. They're making a new unit. They're going to maybe make ours nicer. This is great.
Okay.
They're like, yeah, we're doing some earthquake retrofitting. And I was like, oh my God, that's so annoying. And then I thought, wait, was it just not safe before the whole time? Is that what that means?
I mean, probably not.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
You could just do that? You could just not?
Well, so the buildings are kind of grandfathered in. We have this same thing at JPL where all of our new buildings are earthquake proof, and then all of the older buildings aren't. If we ever take them down or remodel them, then we have to bring them up to code. And so what happens is they just don't bring them up to code, and they just stay the way they are forever so that they can be grandfathered in. Because it's really expensive to bring it up to code.
My God. It seems very expensive. Yeah, they were doing construction basically the entire year and a half that I lived there. And they're still not done.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a union thing. Maybe let's have a conversation about that.
They better get finished before the big one hits.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, whoa, what kind of tease is that? When is that happening?
Yeah, well, we don't know.
What?
That's the thing. That's the other very good thing about scientists in this movie Volcano. She's he's always like, so what's going to happen? She's like, I don't know.
Right.
And that's what we always say.
So yeah, that is a good answer.
Because it's enough proof.
It's very unpredictable.
Where should we move?
Probably Buffalo, New York.
I'm not going to live in Buffalo, Laura.
Yeah,
that's impossible.
There's a really famous volcanologist who lives in Buffalo, New York, and they ask, like, why do you live in Buffalo, New York? It's about as far away from a volcano as you could possibly get. And the volcanologist was like, exactly.
They're dangerous.
They're
heard
dangerous.
Of it?
I like that.
Yeah, because, Great Plains, you have tornadoes and other places you have hurricanes and floods and...
Yeah, but if you live in Buffalo, New York, you do have to worry about the hazard of drinking yourself to death because there's nothing to do.
Right,
so,
yeah, exactly. Suicide yeah. to sneak up on you in Buffalo.
It's true, yeah. It'll really... You can't retrofit your house for that, folks.
Yeah, there's no remodeling.
I guess my advice is just rent, you know? So then when your house gets destroyed...
That's your advice. That's terrible advice. Yeah. Rent because your house is going to get destroyed.
My gosh.
No, I worry about it all the time because I go over friends' houses and I see not only are they on a hill, but the way that they're held up is like a wooden column that's just holding up like half their house. And
yeah, that's
like,
not safe, right?
Well, so I was roommates with a structural engineer, and so she was like, oh, no, it's fine. We know what we're doing. And I was like, I'm a geologist. It's not fine. You can't control nature.
Dude, wait. Also, the idea of a geologist and a structural engineer living together in L.A., it's yeah. like arguing.
And
dude,
we
that's like a
Nat
Geo sitcom.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
We're Why living in a house on a hill, so...
Whoa.
Wow.
The tension builds.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Okay. So, again, I'm going to try and just, like, lightning through these, if that's cool. You mentioned, we were talking a little bit before, that, like, this has happened somewhere. Like, something like volcano, a similar thing has happened.
Right. So, last year in Hawaii, which is a more reasonable place for this to happen, they had the volcano was erupting calmly as it usually does, and then it's a bunch of fissures opened up all the way down the hill from the volcano in the suburban areas with lots of houses and stuff. And so they have all the videos of people, oh, here's my house, and here's a giant fissure that's opened, and then lava started pouring out of these fissures.
Damn.
And it erupted all last summer, just huge amounts of lava. And it's funny because I say the lava and volcanoes too fast. Usually lava is a lot slower. Mm-hmm. The lava that erupted last summer, super fast, like flowing like a raging river.
Wow.
And
why
towards
so fast? The
sea. Just because it had was really low viscosity. It was, and it, and there, a lot of it was coming out at once.
Damn.
And does
so
the
scary.
Low viscosity, does that happen because it's so hot?
Yeah, if it's really hot, it can be low viscosity, or if the chemical composition is a little different, it can also change the viscosity of the lava.
So what did they do? Did they put a bus and a bunch of cement blocks and then helicopters drop water?
Basically, they couldn't do anything. They had to evacuate the whole area, and Jesus. Then the volcano destroyed everything in its path until it was stopped. Oh. And now it's stopped. And nothing is erupting. Kilauea has been erupting since like 1983 or something like that. And so, and now it's stopped. And so everyone's like, okay, I guess it's over. I guess, but we don't, you know, or else it's building up pressure somewhere deep down. It's going to explode all at once. They don't know. Man. So it's super mysterious.
There's no way to measure. There's no way to throw one of your two wheel or rovers down there. And
what they do is they measure earthquakes. And so that's how they, you know, not every. I don't think anyone died in this particular thing because they had a bunch of earthquakes ahead of time. And they said, oh, my gosh, something terrible is happening. And then when the lava came up, at first it came up quite slow. So they got everybody out of there. They had to airlift some people out by helicopter who got surrounded by rivers of lava and things
Jesus.
Like that. Every one of my friends was like, we're going to Hawaii. Let's go. Yeah.
It's gonna be sick.
And then, of course, the poor Tommy Lee Jones, probably in charge of the Hawaiian patrol or whatever, saying, everyone out, perform a perimeter. And then all these volcanologists being like, I'm going to sneak in. I'm going to... with my drone and like and disrupt everything. So
that's insane. Yeah, also, I've got to say, ironic that after all this, it was in fact Mother Nature that paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Interesting.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go to the museum to see all the trees.
It's true.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So how about that? And Mother Nature did that.
Yeah.
Wasn't people.
I mean, I'd rather it that way, though. Yeah, that sounds much nicer, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. We're out of time. We're going to have to do Dante's Peak because I have so many more volcano questions.
Yeah.
There's just too many to get. I literally have pages that I didn't even touch. For example, they say that the water coming from the helicopters, like that would not work at all. That helicopters couldn't even fly over lava, that the ash would make their like engines break down and go out of control. So I thought that was pretty funny.
That does. Yeah. But
yeah. Then, also, helicopters don't fly in a giant like swarm like that. What the fuck
it's
was
like 19
that?
Helicopters.
What I was thinking is like things that haven't changed in L.A. It's like they have way too many freaking helicopters in this town.
That's true.
This is true.
They could get...
See them all the time.
You're like, that's an enormous number of helicopters. Like, yeah, they could probably scrounge that many from just around, like, one part of LA.
But they couldn't put them over lava, apparently.
Wait, not true. Too close. They can fly helicopter over lava, but not too close. And there's also really crazy drafts because the heat.
Right.
You know, so the helicopter is unstable. And then the ash. The ash also makes it hard to fly planes, too. So if you guys remember when Eyjafjallajökull volcano erupted in 2010, Icelandic volcano, and shut down all of the world's air traffic for a day.
Whoa. No, I do not remember that.
Yes, 2010. It was the first time such an enormous number of planes had stopped flying since 9/11.
Never forgot about that one.
Yeah. Never forget.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Well, on that wonderful note, let's see if we can...
Yes, dude. Going out on 9/11. We did it.
It's hard to do. It's hard to do. You know, the entire hour podcast was building to that. It was on purpose.
Well, I told you guys right before we recorded. I was like, listen, one way or another, we're getting a 9/11 right at the end.
Got it.
This is actually scripted. I don't know if you guys know that. Ethan does write this. My name is Dave. This is Sarah. We're just... These are characters we play.
Yeah. It's a scripted podcast.
Yeah.
It's a narrative. So, Mekki, where can people find you? Find your shows. Obviously, they should watch Control Room. YouTube, right?
Yes. Comedy Central released my new digital special, Control Room. It's very cool and crazy. You should watch it. I made a fake company that sells used tissues for $80. Time Magazine completely believed it. Colbert believed it. The Guardian believed it. They seriously thought this was a real company, and the truth didn't come out until I dropped my special. So check that out. I don't know. I'm headlining Dartmouth this weekend. I probably already did that by the time this comes out. So I don't know, man.
Dartmouth was great.
Thank you so much for having me at Green Key. That was amazing. But I'm going to be on the East Coast in Boston and Philly from May 19th to the 26th, if this comes out before then.
Yeah, I think so.
Go to my website, MekkiLieper.com. Also, email Ethan if you like me as a guest, because I'm always like, do you think the fans like when I'm on? And he's like, dude, no one gives a fuck about like how you, like your anyone's perception of you. Like, you're thinking about it too much. It's a science podcast.
Yeah, every time I see Mekki, your first question is always like, dude, are people going crazy? They want me back on the pod?
They want me back on the pod, dude? I'm like, hey, do you guys hate me? So here's the thing. Don't even email if you like it. Just email... hey, do you guys hate me or not? Let me know. What's the email for
just
the podcast?
Just a yes or no
just
is
a
fine.
Poll.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. What's the email for the podcast?
Badscience@seeker.
Badscience@seeker.com.
Yes.
Email if you hate me or not. I'm serious. This is a call to action.
Yeah,
do
put,
it.
In the subject line, just put Mekki Leaper. And then in the body, put yes if you hate him, and then no if you don't.
Exactly. Do that. Mekki Leaper, yes or no. Just say it.
Either way, I'm delighted to have you on the pod. I hope I have you back for a third time, a third crust, if you will.
Third crust.
And Dr. Laura Kerber, how can people find out about your event? You have the Mars Odyssey expedition people should know about, yes?
Yeah, I'm also the deputy project scientist of Mars Odyssey, which is a spacecraft that's been around Mars since 2001.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
We recently took a picture of Mars's moon Phobos, so you can check that out on newsstands near you.
Yeah.
Other than that, NASA's up to all kinds of stuff nowadays. We're about to get a sample from an asteroid with a mission called OSIRIS-REx. Mm-hmm. And we're getting ready to launch Mars 2020, our next Mars rover.
Oh, yeah.
And among many other things, and building up towards going back to the moon.
Love it. So incredible. If people have questions about your moon diver or any of this Mars stuff, should they reach out to you or do you want to stay?
Yeah, I think I have a public-facing website. They can just email me there. Okay. There's like a comment box that'll get to me.
Great. Okay. So, guys, you can reach out to Dr. Laura Kerber about anything Mars, moon, volcano related, and you can reach out to Mekki and let him know if you hate his guts.
Yes. Do it.
All right. Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you next time.
Great.
Bye. Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our social media producers are Kate Baker and EJ Gullett, and the executive Probsidian producer is Brett Kushner. You can follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Show or send us an email at badscience@seeker.com, as Mekki so gracefully said. And if you wouldn't mind leaving us an iTunes review, that helps other people learn about the show, which I would really appreciate. Next week, we're going to be talking about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, so make sure you watch that, and I'll see you then. Bye.